for this, you just, all you have to do is, okay, I can do one more mile. I can try one more mile, you know, walking, running, whatever I need to do. So it's just amazing what your body is capable of. Good morning, good evening, everyone. Thank you so much whenever you are listening to this, the Run the Race podcast. I'm your host, Jason Dennis, a local TV news anchor here in the Columbus, Georgia area, just south of Atlanta. And spring has officially sprung now. We are in a new season. And as we're in the month of March, you know what that means? March Madness, my favorite all-time sporting event, even more than the Super Bowl. And it is March Madness NCAA tournament, men's and women's basketball. And so it's a really fun time. I'm a big North Carolina Tar Heel fan, grew up in that state my first 20 years, but been down here in Georgia or Alabama the last 25 years. And I wanted to give you kind of a race recap of something I just recently did, ran the furthest distance and the longest time I've ever run at one time. And, you know, that has to do with numbers, right? And so we're talking about today how numbers matter in fitness things and running, especially in life and faith. And so in March Madness, we have a field of 68 teams that make the field and play all the way down to the Sweet 16, to the Elite Eight, to the Final Four, all significant numbers we're talking about. You've got the seeds each team is placed into based on how their season went. The one seed, you have the big 5 versus 12 seed matchups, Cinderellas. And then in basketball or really any sport, you've got statistics, right? You've got scoring, rebounding, assists, turnovers, field goal percentage, all those things. You know, numbers really, truly do matter. But when it comes down to it, it's a matter of heart, right? And that's why a lot of people love college basketball in this tournament, because anything can happen. It's single elimination. Anybody can really beat anybody. 16 seeds have beat one seeds. That's like the 150th best team beating like the second best team in the nation. It's happened before twice in the last 5 years. So numbers do matter. Those stats, that record of the season and where you're seated, where you rank in the standings, that those do matter. But what may matter just as much, if not more, is heart and resiliency and hustle and teamwork and chemistry and just the love of the game and playing like you really, you know, like you want it more than the other team, the other players. And so there are things that matter, you know, more than numbers. But numbers in life, you got your age. Like for me, you know, they say age is just a number. For me, I'm 48 years old. You also, maybe, how long have you been married? For me, it's been almost 24 years, so about half my life. You've got other important numbers like your money, bank account going up and down, taxes, how much you make, how much you earn on your job, which can go up or down as well in terms of raises or getting fired. You got the time on the clock, which just recently changed to an hour ahead. You got your social security number, which is kind of our identity. That's obviously a very important number for all of us. You know, you're driving. How far are you driving and what's your speed? Are you going 55 miles per hour or 80 miles per hour? Those are important numbers as well. And then police can stop you for whatever that number is. And you know, life, though, is not just a quantitative, you know, number. It's not just measured in, you know, our age number, our money number, those kind of things. But we should really measure and define life, the value of life, with other things, with our family, our friends, those connections we have, the love, the laughter, spontaneity, adventure, maybe things like forgiveness, like it talks about in the Bible, and also experiences. It doesn't really matter necessarily how many places you've been, but what are those experiences like? What are those memories that you have? And if you're happy, does age, does that number really matter? I mean, whether you're, you know, 10 years old or 90 years old, if you're happy, then you're happy. It doesn't matter what age you are. We don't, you know, necessarily want to eliminate numbers, but we want to use them to make, to really, you know, add value to our life, to have countdowns to goals that we have in life, maybe celebrate marks like birthdays, those kind of things. And they're also, you know, important numbers when it comes to fitness. maybe how much weight you lifted or squatted. But, you know, also pushing those numbers that too high, that can be detrimental to your health. And numbers that maybe matter more than like the miles you've run or the weight you've lifted or the, you know, tennis matches you've won or your golf score, things that the numbers that may matter more than that for your overall health and fitness are things like your BMI, your waist size, your blood pressure, things like blood sugar. And those are the things that you can test yourself or you can, you know, get a doctor to test. And so, and in running, you know, how far or fast we run. I mean, we mark those things. A lot of people pay close attention to those stats on their Garmin watch or whatever else. And also your pace. Are you running a, you know, 7 minutes per mile or 12 minutes per mile, whatever else. And, you know, people keep, you know, constant track of the miles they've run for their week, for the month, for the year. Some people try to run the year like this is 2024. They're trying to run 2,024 miles this year, which would mean you'd have to average about, I don't know, maybe 5 miles a day, something to that effect. And for me, one of my goals is running a marathon, 26.2 miles, give or take, in 50 states. I'm a little more than halfway there, 26 states in. So there's a lot of numbers there as well. You've got your heart rate, people keep track of with different technology. You got your cadence, your shoe size, the ounces of hydration that you drink during a race, while you're training, before or after runs. So those are important as well. And like I mentioned to you earlier, you know, I had a recent race up in Griffin, Georgia, just about an hour and a half north of Columbus, about a 90-minute drive, where I was trying to go for a distance PR. That's a record for the longest distance I've run at one time. So I've, in the previous past, I've run, I think, 3 ultras, which is, an ultra is essentially anything more than a marathon. It could be 27 miles. It could be a 50K, which is around 31 miles. And so that's an ultra. So this was my attempt at a 4th ultra and trying to run my longest distance yet. This was a race called #1mile at a time. And that was the mantra of a guy they named this race after. He was fighting cancer, and his mantra as a runner as well was just 1 mile at a time. And this race has been going on for 4 years now. I ran it the very first year, and I ended up with about 35 miles and lasted a little more than 8 hours. And the race, in theory, is if you last the entire 24 hours, you get to 100 miles. Well, nobody had ever done that before until this time. I didn't get there. I was not one of those, but I did get my longest distance ever. I didn't quite get to the 40 miles I wanted to do, but I got in 36.55 miles and was out there running for about 8.5 hours. So here's how this race works. It's kind of unique. It's not like you're constantly running the whole time. So this is a guy's house. He has dozens of acres up there in Griffin, Georgia, on this beautiful lake. And there's a 1.05 mile loop around that lake. It's mostly on trail, and there's a couple of very small hills, but there's one kind of bigger hill. But again, it's not real hilly, but that loop is just a little more than a mile, and you go across at least one little bridge, and then you're back at the start. Well, this race, you get 15 minutes to do that 1.05 miles, but you have to be back in that starting corral by that time. So by 8:15, 8:30, 8:45, 9 a.m., and you get the point, and so on, and you keep going. So if you're in that starting corral at that 15-minute mark each time, you can continue running the race. And so for me, I would be finishing the mile with about maybe 2 minutes or so to spare, and I could get a swig of something to drink if I wanted, a bite of something to eat, put some sunscreen on, change hats, change shirt if I wanted to, all kinds of different things, or just kind of keep walking around. Some people would sit down, take a little rest. Some people would have, you know, 30 seconds to spare. Other people maybe with about 3 or 4 minutes if they were a little faster. But you wanted to pace yourself because you're playing the long game here. And so there were about 80 or 85 people that started the race. I ended up being in that 30 people left. So it's kind of a last man standing kind of style race. And I was one of the 30 men and women last standing. Ended up ranking about 28th or 29th with lasting 8.5 hours. My goal really was to be timed out. I wanted to keep pushing and not give up. You ring the gong when you're done running, and you're no longer participating in 1 mile at a time. And I just decided I was just really tired. I wasn't hurting anywhere, but the temperatures were in the low 70s. We had the sun beaming down on us. This was, I started at 8 a.m. in the morning, so this was around close to 5 p.m. So we were out there kind of baking in the sun for several hours. And I just decided, well, I've broken my record. That's good enough. You know, I think that trying to last anymore, and I could have kept pushing and you know, kind of regret that I didn't keep pushing. But, you know, you make choices in life. I wanted to eat and drink and enjoy and heckle some of the runners. And so I hung out for another couple hours and did that. But what was really cool, I found out later that, you know, I had one friend that was trying for 100K. So he got that 62 miles. He was out there for maybe 17 hours or so. But, you know, there were the record on this race the last 3 years had been 77 miles, which is a long time. You're out there in the middle of the night running with just a few other people, this loop around the lake. But this time, you know, you had two people pushing each other. Some people did last till 70 or 80 miles, but these two guys, they lasted all the way until the last lap. And so neither one of the guys dropped out. They just, so at the end, they're actually racing each other that last loop. And so they ended up with 101 miles in 24 hours, starting at 8 a.m. on Saturday and finishing at 8 a.m. on Sunday. Just really astounding and amazing. And one of them is a guy that I run with here and there in the Columbus, Georgia area, Kerlens Constant. And just amazing. He was kind of a wild card. He had done a 50 miles run before, but never, you know, this far, this first time doing this long. And he was talking about how he was kind of, you know, not feeling it even 20 miles in, 25 miles in. But he just kept running and was just so resilient. He posted online a day or two after the race this past Saturday. He said, when in doubt, show up. And so, you know, and he showed up to this race by a group called Revolution Running. They do a great job with this event. He messaged me back and told me the more he ran, he felt like he had to make it to the 100 mark. I mean, he just had to go and had to keep going. And I asked him how he kept going and if he kind of felt like his body was shutting down at any time during that 24 hours. And Kerlens told me once he hit 60 miles, he told himself the only way that he'd stop is if he cramped up and couldn't move. But, you know, he said no cramps. And he, you know, just like me, he woke up at 5 a.m. that morning and drove 90 minutes up there to the start of the race, which was at 8 a.m. And we all brought like, you know, our little chairs to sit in, like a tailgate. We all brought our different lotions and creams we needed and snacks and drinks. It's kind of self-supported. And we all were putting like ice on our head and cold towels and different things. You're eating protein bars and Pringles and crackers and maybe some real food. I bought some cheeseburgers from McDonald's the night before and brought and ate one of those during the race as well, getting some real food, some lunch during the race. But you're not sleeping when you're out there. So you're I mean, Kerlens was out there for 24 hours, maybe with a couple minutes break after each mile. But he talked about his competitor, the guy that actually won. So Kerlens ended up second place overall, despite doing 101 miles in 24 hours, because that last loop, they raced each other. And the other guy, JJ, he's from California, came all the way out to Georgia for this race. He finished that last lap in about 7 minutes. So he ran a sub-7-minute mile 100 miles into the race. Kerlens did his, Kerlens Constant did his in about 8 minutes. So just both amazing. And I'm surprised they were still standing. So, but Kerlens talked about his competitor, JJ, watching him be the epitome of good sportsmanship the whole day, cheering everyone on throughout the race. And it motivated him. And they, he says they essentially ran side by side the last 19 or 20 miles together. Because they were the only ones left in the race. It was like, you know, probably 4 a.m, 6 a.m. And they raced that final lap. But just applause you know, to them. Great job to both those guys. And great job to Revolution Running on a great race. Looking forward to future races by them. But hashtag 1 mile at a time. That's a good way to live, too. I mean, just because you just got to keep moving. And that's a good in life, you know, it's you just have to sometimes you quit maybe ahead of time. And so for this, you just, all you have to do is, okay, I can do one more mile. I can try one more mile, you know, walking, running, whatever I need to do. So it's just amazing what your body is capable of, and just amazing to see that. And with life, you know, numbers matter as well. It's not just in running and in fitness. The right numbers can, you know, give you maybe a free college education, like my son's getting free tuition right now. The right numbers can earn you a raise, or the wrong numbers can get you fired or worse. So those are important things in life. And Danny Anderson wrote about this. He wrote a quick blog called Numbers Matter. He's a pastor at Emmanuel Church in the Indianapolis area. He says a few things. Numbers reveal the true health of your body, your relationships, maybe your organization or your church. Numbers can reveal how healthy or sick your financial situation is, not just your body. And numbers can hold you accountable. They can keep you honest. Whether it's your organization or your marriage, those true numbers, you know, kind of come out. They can't be hidden. And numbers can create expectations. And also with your health, with a lot of things, numbers can keep you focused. Speaking of that accountability, like he mentioned, the Weight Watchers system, they use numbers to help you keep your portions the right amount, the selections in line, all those kind of things. And in terms of how to use those numbers the right way, which I talked about earlier, when the right numbers are in view at all times, Pastor Anderson says, the right actions will be taken to ensure you do what you're created to do. And that can apply to your family as well. And if you lose track of those numbers, or you're measuring the wrong ones, or too focused on the numbers, that can cost you your health, maybe your job, maybe your relationship. So you got to be careful with those numbers. Numbers can mark a lot of important things, positive and negative in your life, tragedies, when someone you love most died, a certain date, when maybe you became a Christian and decided to follow Jesus, a number of when, you know, you how long you've worked at your job. And a friend of mine, Brandon McKenzie, who was on this podcast a few years ago, and he's leading an event called Revival on the River here in town that I'm going to be hosting, emceeing again. Brandon is a part of a ministry here called Take the City, and he's a former drug addict, several years ago, and that's what this number's about. He posted this on Facebook. I'll read a part of it. He says, 1,773. That is the number of days I've been sober. I once thought that numbering your days in sobriety was like a countdown to your next relapse. Now I know much better. It's the recognition that Tuesday, March 19th is an unspeakable miracle for me. It's more than a calendar invite, more than a task list, more than just another Tuesday. Today in and of itself is holy and sacred and gloriously beautiful. Today, I am in the middle of a mind-boggling adventure with God that should have never been. And he quoted a verse from Psalm 90:12 that says, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. So congratulations, Brandon, on almost 1,800 days of being sober. That's a huge accomplishment. He's gone on to really living a life just, you know, following after God. And so congrats to him. And I'm actually reading the book of Numbers right now in the Bible. And there's the verse that kind of stood out to me is Numbers 6, 24 through 26. It says, may the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace. There's a lot of numbers, actual numbers, in that book of the Bible, but there's some definitely a lot of great nuggets in there as well. And there's a lot of biblical numerology. You know, seven, that number symbolizes fullness, completion, perfection. You know, God created the world in 6 days, rested the seventh. We have these 7 day weeks now, not by accident. In the book of Revelation, there's seven churches, seven seals, seven trumpets, seven bowls, all those things. And so numbers do matter, but we got to be careful with them as well. And closing this podcast now in prayer, dear God, just thank you for this opportunity to talk about the numbers that matter in our lives, for our body, for our soul, for you. And just thank you, Lord, for allowing us to have these bodies to be able to push ourselves to challenges and to glorify you through every step we run, everything we do on our job, with our family, And Lord God, let us we know that you number our days, and that we thank you for that. And Lord God, just help us to add the numbers to the kingdom of God for you as we walk on this earth. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, thank you so much again for listening to the Run the Race podcast. Make sure to tell your friends about it. Use hashtag Run the Race. We're on Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher. You can write a review on the Apple Podcast app, that little purple icon on your smartphone, your iPhone. And you can go down to, after you and Run the Race, go down to the bottom. There's a place to write a little review. 5 stars if you like it. Write a couple sentences. We'd love to hear that. That helps with the metrics and keeps us maybe towards the top of some playlists. And we've had a lot of listens over the last 4+ years, and appreciate the opportunity to keep this going, talking about fitness and faith on a regular basis here as we close in, getting closer to 200 episodes overall. Looking forward to that, and looking forward to maybe running even more in 2024 as those numbers continue, hopefully growing, Lord willing, and the creek don't rise. So have a great end of March, everybody, and we'll see you next time.